This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Bonnie North. Local photographer Corey Fells has unveiled a new documentary and photography series, and this time he's putting men under the spotlight. If his name sounds familiar, it's because we met Fells at the beginning of the year when he introduced us to his 100 Women project that highlighted millennial women of color in Milwaukee. Now 20 Black and Hispanic men from the South and North sides of the city have the chance to tell their stories and discuss mental wellness, something men of color aren't typically given the space to do. Local artists, musicians, public figures, and athletes are among those featured in the series. Fells, along with Mag Rodriguez and Webster X, spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell about what inspired them to take on a project like this.
I kind of reflect back on my own personal life. Anxiety and just emotional detachment and just emotional issues were something that I kind of went through. And so as a kid that lost his mom in high school, trying to understand, like, what was life afterwards, went to boot camp immediately afterwards. And that kind of made it a little worse because that made me very sharp and still. Kind of like black and white. I was either sad or I was either glad. There was no in-between. And if it was very disheartening for me to kind of differentiate specifically what emotion I was actually feeling. Until literally maybe in boot camp for a year after my mom passed, I didn't cry. The only picture I had of my mom was an obituary. And throughout boot camp, I always had this obituary to kind of push me through and kind of get me through hard times. And I accidentally washed it. Later that night, that was my first time I cried in a year. So I kind of understood there's something wrong as to why it took me a year to cry about my mom. So I had conversations with professionals, but it didn't really quite work. And so I kind of sat down and talked with like a comfortable set of friends that were non-biased. And this kind of let me know, like, hey, Corey, this is how you want to feel, but you can't really articulate it. So I felt like this project was just only suited for that because I wanted to understand if other men felt like that.
So would you say in the process of hearing the stories of men you spoke to for this series, you saw yourself in them?
Oh, yeah, from definitely Mag. Mag is a pretty busy guy, very, very much so, and I kind of see myself in that. But Mag has a tremendous story where he talks about his personal life with his parents and also his girlfriend and just that, and also especially with Webb. Webb is an artist. He's an artist. Everything about him is an artist. And he had this anxiety that he grew up with from high school that just kind of made him a little bit more anxious and just things like that. And I think people will be very, we can relate to both of these guys' stories and all 20 other guys' stories too.
And we actually have Mag and Webster X here to talk about their experiences with the series. But I want to also ask you, Corey, as a Black man creating this series and using your own experiences to start this work, what else influenced you to say, I need to create a space for more of these conversations for Black and Hispanic men?
It's taboo for men to have emotions. There's no real middle ground for men, especially men in lower developed environments, to be able to have that dissection of, hey, this is how I feel. I don't have to feel mad or happy. I can feel in the middle some days, or 90% of my year, I can feel in the middle. So I felt like the project really needed that. And then just from media really doesn't really give that wide range of emotions for Black and Hispanic men.
So Meg, talk about what it was like for you to participate in the series.
I think for me it came natural just because I'm in a place in my life for the first time that I'm like vulnerable and I'm okay with being vulnerable. During this time, I think it might have been before or after we filmed this, I had cried for the first time in my life after 10 years. So I hadn't been able to cry since I was a child. Went through a lot of like childhood trauma stuff, just like being separated at the border from my mother, not in the same sense of where it is now, but something in that same world. My parents being immigrants and just dealing with a lot of those things kind of, you know, the very black and white where like I have to be a strong, you know, man of color in society. And the only way I get to where I have to get to is by having a straight face. You know, I think as men of color, we're targeted every single day in the workplace, in just regular society, where, like, if you get pulled over and you show emotion, you might strike fear in the police officer. If you show emotion at work, it's, oh, he's an aggressive employee, you know. So I think so much of the black and white has been instilled in us through, you know, just society. And I started speaking up against it a little bit over a year ago when I started going to therapy. And I started preaching about, go to therapy, guys. Like, therapy has changed my life. It's changed the lives of the people around me, you know, and it has to get bad before it gets good. So I also understand that portion. And, you know, a big portion of the program that I run here in Milwaukee, Backline, is circled around mental health. And musicians in particular, and creatives, it's something that we've all known they struggle with, but no one's ever given them the resources. So yeah, I mean, I think as a whole, like, I'm very comfortable talking about how I feel. On the way in, I was telling, you know, Corey that, like, I'm not having a great day today. And before, like, I had to fake it. Like, I think for the most part, everyone fakes it when they ask, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, you know? But I think being able to speak up with, in particular, with other men of color, be like, hey, man, I'm not having a great day today. You know, I'm, you know, my clothes might be clean and, you know, I got a haircut today and I might have shaved and I might look good on the outside, but it's okay to not feel okay sometimes.
Were there any other influences that got you to this point where you're saying I'm okay with being vulnerable?
I mean, therapy was a big role in it, but I think a lot of, like, meditation. I think as men, we live in our heads so much where it's because we're not, you know, we're not raised to be, like, touchy. Like, we don't just hug people, you know, we don't hold people's hands, you know, it's considered feminine. And for the most part, all we can do is live in our heads. Anger is all in our heads, you know, and we don't, our bodies, it's a full body thing when we feel emotions, but we as men can only express it in our heads. So I think through meditation, and I've been doing stuff like acupuncture now and Reiki and reading a lot and journaling a lot. I think journaling in particular has been a big part of my life now, where so much of the answers that I've always wanted are from within. So I just had to sit down and write it out. Like, how am I feeling? And knowing that no one is going to read it but me allows me to just kind of talk to myself. So yeah, it's been a big, it's been a lot of things that kind of put me in this situation where I used to think, I mean, the word vulnerable just sounds so scary. It's like you're vulnerable as in, like, you're prone to injury, when in reality, you know, vulnerability is you're prone to happiness, you're prone to feel, and you're prone to grow, right? You can't grow without being vulnerable. I mean, you think about just, you know, nature as a whole, right? When a butterfly, before it becomes a butterfly, it's in a vulnerable state. It doesn't move and it's in a cocoon, and then it all of a sudden, you know, grows. So, and there's many animals and plants around the world that, like, they have to be in this vulnerable state to allow themselves to grow. And as men, we don't ever put ourselves in a place of vulnerability, and we end up causing more harm by not doing that.
And Webb, how about you? What did you think about being asked to participate?
Yeah, it was an honor because I'm in a similar place, you know, in my life as Mag as well. It's a very transitional period for me, you know. I just got out of a 5-year relationship, which was, like, really a strong one. And, like, I think at that time I was still in a relationship when I did the interview, but I could just feel the shedding of skin start to happen even beyond the relationship. There's so many different factors in my life that have shifted in the last month and a half. And it's been a lot, but I think, you know, in 2014 when I was when I was really writing that album, Daymares, which came out then in 2017, like, I was realizing what anxiety really was and what depression really was, because growing up, those two things were not talked about in my household. So when you don't have a name to a feeling, you can't really feel the feeling as much. You don't even know what you're feeling. So you like, it's almost like I started to have anxiety about having anxiety. Or, like, I was being more depressed because I'm like, I'm depressed. And I'm, like, a little bit of a hypochondriac. So, like, I really, yeah, I really just take things the extra mile. I'm like, yo, I'm dying. And then slowly but surely you just shed those things, you know, as you get older and you realize, like, who you really are. So I love being vulnerable now because, to me, yeah, you know, the word vulnerable, like Max, it kind of feels like a negative thing, right? but it's just really not. And it's so much not to the point where that word doesn't even really exist in my head. I'm just being me. Being me is being vulnerable. Like, that's the definition you're going to get when you think of, like, Sam or Webster X or whoever. Like, I'm going to just always be me. And, you know, lately, too, I've been trying to have some, just some, like, shields up, just because sometimes, like, if you're too vulnerable, people can use that and manipulate you. But at the same time, I'm just like, bro, y'all just going to get it how you get it. And, you know, just work with that. So it was an honor, man. And also, I think all the people that Corey chose were just incredible people that I all respect as well. It's a very well curated lineup of men. And it's just key. I think people really need to hear about this project, you know, worldwide, locally, nationally, regionally, whatever it is, because so many people can relate to it. And the way that it's done in, like, I have not seen it really be done in this fashion in, you know, shooting these very, you know, like, all the way down to, I don't know if I'm giving away too many details. Okay, cool. Like, all the way down to wearing, like, a black T-shirt and a white T-shirt and him telling us to, you know, bring those different pieces. And there's just something that speaks to it that's really artistic and beautiful that I can relate to. And it's just a well-done project, so.
So what are you guys' thoughts about how this series will be received? Because as you were saying, this isn't a typical conversation on mental health that men of color usually have. And it's also not something that people might be used to seeing. And not that that's a bad thing, but what are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be celebrated. I mean, like I said, I think people can relate to it. And the way that it's done is so quality, you just can't deny it. To me, it's just a powerhouse of a project.
I think for me, it's more so, I think the project already did what it had to do before people even see it. I think I view this as no different as like an album or, you know, a piece of art, right? Like when someone makes an album, an artist makes any form of art or a creative creates anything, the creativity, it ends there, right? As far as like the emotion was put into something and that energy now exists, right? So I think I remember doing my interview and the way I felt out of that interview. You know, he asked some questions that like my therapist wasn't even asking me at the time, you know, and I'm walking out of there like I just left through like a form of therapy. And I can only imagine if he asked those questions to 20 men, that means he made an impact in the life of 20 men. To hear another man, like my therapist is a woman, right? And for the most part, a lot of therapists are women, and for the most part, they're not women of color at that. And to hear another man of color talk about his emotions and open up to you about your emotions, these are, for the most part, like not conversations that most men even have with their friends. So I think being able to walk away from that, I remember walking away and like seeing a good friend of mine and I started talking to him about like emotions and the questions that Corey had just asked me and feeling a little bit more comfortable. So I think the energy was already there in this body of work that he created. And I think, you know, how people receive it, I think it's the smallest component of this whole thing. I think the impact has already been made beyond what, you know, a big publication posting it means, right? At that point, we're talking about views and likes and data that doesn't really mean anything. So I think if an impact that I would like to see is, you know, more men in Milwaukee to like look at this and be like, oh, wow, look at all these men of color doing cool stuff that I look up to and talking about their emotions and being vulnerable. That means I can do that too, right? If we can make an impact in a 12, 13, 10, 8-year-old kid, you know, that can put a name to those emotions, as Webb, you know, mentioned, I think that's where that's the impact I would like to see. And that's what I want people to receive it as.
Does it ever surprise you guys that in 2019, talking about mental health is still considered taboo by some?
It's very taboo because it's a very intimate thing. It's not something that, like Max said today, when you usually ask a person how their day is, they're usually giving you that cliche wording of like, hey, I'm having a good day, I'm having a great day. When he throws out, no, I'm not having the greatest day, I have so many things going on right now, that throws you for a left curve. So you're not, your response to that is always, okay, well, I hope it gets better, and then you move on. Like, it's hard to kind of attack that. It's hard to kind of respond to something like that because Mag on one end doesn't want to be throw you that left curve, but he wants to be very true and honest to himself. He doesn't want to live a lie. He doesn't want to continue on with something that he knows he's not feeling. And me as a person, I have to learn to be receptive of that and be like, okay, is there anything you want to talk about? Is there anything you want to kind of extend it out? Or do you just want to say that? Sometimes people just want to say that and then move on. Or sometimes other people want to just be able to kind of expound on that. But if they're in the right environment. So I think it is taboo, but it's starting to turn heads.
I think we put words on like taboo on certain things that happen because we're shocked. I don't know. I like nothing really surprises me anymore. I don't think it's I think it's long overdue, but at the same time, like men of color are barely getting a chance to breathe, if that, right? Like I don't think we have people of color as a whole haven't been had a chance to breathe and to really, I mean, you look at our communities, the reason why people can't get to where they want to get to is because there's so many, you know, boundaries set in place for us to even get regular needs. So I think I think if anything, we're early to the conversation of, you know, mental health, because the biggest problem is overall health. I mean, you know, learning that like the ER is that's the doctor's office for the poor and the sick, right? Like that means that there's hundreds and thousands of people every single day that don't even have access to general health, right? So I think mental health is still very much a luxury in middle class families, and that whether that's white, black, brown, or anything in between. So I think we're very early on it, and I think mental health, I think not even attacking mental health, but speaking up on like mental health in particular with men, because men, you know, society still has this like idea of like the head of the household, you know, still being very masculine and this patriarch, and as toxic as that can be, if men can be a little more comfortable talking about emotion, I think that can encourage, you know, our sisters and, you know, our partners to also get help. You know, I'm the first person in my family to go to therapy and stay in therapy. You know, I talk to my grandmother, my grandfather about it, and they're like, oh, is everything okay, son? You know, it's, I mean, it's like there is this stigma of like, you know, I tell my parents go to therapy and they're like, no, I go to church if I need some help. So it's like, there's still these stigmas. So I think we're very early, and I'm glad it's happening. And I think it's going to be a long journey. I mean, we can't forget civil rights was, you know, not that long ago. You know, there's a ton of stuff that's just happening in life that needs to be addressed. But I think mental health can fix a lot of that or help with the process.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing is really surprising to me at all, because we've had thousands of years of these social norms that we now have to reverse, which is going to take another couple thousand years. and it's as simple as those like automatic responses of, hey, how are you doing today? You know, if somebody's not good, and if they really want to express it, they just don't, because it's just a norm. There are these things that are just, it's the brain at the end of the day, you know, it's just, it's going to take a lot of time, but like we'll be in good shape as long as we keep talking about it.
Support for Race and Ethnicity Reporting is provided by the Doman Company.
Milwaukee photographer Corey Fells created the new 20 Men series. Mag Rodriguez and Webster X are two of the men featured in the project. They spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell. Fells plans to release the full 20 Men documentary in the spring of 2020. There is more information at WUWM.com.